Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, your host, and welcome to 2020. So, how many people were thinking about C-Lab 2020 this New Year's? Yeah, I know, only a few geeks. And yeah, I was one of those kids who thought that by 2020 we would have underwater cities like C-Lab 2020 and Marine Boy. Yeah, I know. But today's show will be a a variation of the many end-of-year look-back-on-2019 sort of listicle shows, because, yes, I do have a list of items, TV shows and movies mostly, and some comics, that I was impressed by during 2019, and maybe you guys will check them out. Yes, many of these are or were the subject of various interviews during 2019, but that's not the only reason they made my list. So we're going to start out with television. And the television list I want to address first are the awesome shows that were canceled in 2019, thus breaking my heart a little bit. First of all, The Gifted. Why was that canceled? After the second season, there was so much more story there to tell. Not happy. Travelers on Netflix. Why was that canceled? Inquiring Minds and Broken Hearts want to know. Cloak and Dagger on Freeform. Why was that canceled? The second season was a tough, emotionally challenging season. It was poignant and intense and wonderful. And we finally started to get to see a glimpse of what Ty and Tandy could do together with their powers. And it was canceled. And then we get word that, hey, we're going to see Cloak and Dagger in season 3 of Runaways on Hulu, giving us that tiny, tiny shimmer of hope that maybe Hulu would pick up Cloak and Dagger and have those two shows run side by side. But no, Hulu canceled The Runaways. Season 3 is it. That's all we get. So in terms of 2019 canceling TV shows I was really, really getting hooked on, I guess technically that also includes Reverie, which ran in 2018 but wasn't officially canceled until 2019. Yeah. Yeah, I'm in terms of TV show cancellations, I'm glad 2019 is over. Just saying. Now, for the shows that are still running or have just begun that have excited me, returning shows, we have The Expanse, duh. Project Blue Book will be back for season 2 later in January. Manifest will be starting this coming week, season 2. Lucifer, which is now on Netflix, having moved there from Fox, is being canceled after season 5, and we will be getting season 5 later in 2020. And the fact that Lucifer, Tom Ellis's Lucifer, showed up in the Crisis on Infinite Earths crossover, chatting about past adventures with John Constantine, including that favor he did Maze, got everybody excited. A writer on Twitter mentioned that he would love to pitch a miniseries featuring Lucifer and John Constantine. I think I mentioned this last week's show. Yeah, I would pay money for that show. Shut up and take my money. I want to see Matt Ryan and Tom Ellis together as Lucifer and John Constantine from the DC Universe, from Vertigo, wreaking havoc. Yes. Breaking hearts, men's and women's hearts alike. Yeah, let's go there. I want to see that. Other shows that made my best of lists. The Magicians. Season 4 was a tough ride, but season 5 looks like it will be more intense to make up for the losses that our fine-feathered magicians felt. Killjoys wrapped up its 5th and final season in 2019, and if you have not watched this show, go check it out. I believe it's on iTunes and Amazon Prime. I intend to get the rest of the series on Blu-ray. I only have season 1, I think. But yeah, Killjoys is a show that I want to own on Blu-ray. Consider that. The Expanse also I want to own on Blu-ray, but again, budget reasons, haven't bought anything past season 1 yet. Lucifer, I already mentioned. Manifest. Go see Manifest. All of season 1 is on Hulu for you to binge. That is, to me, it's like Lost, only done better. The mystery is more compelling. Yes, I said that. And I am totally floored by, yes, I've already seen a couple of season 2 episodes, and I can't wait to see the rest of them. So that's the only tease I'm going to let fly about Manifest. No spoilers. Go watch this for yourself. Project Blue Book, I believe I already mentioned. Season 2 of that's coming up later in January. Black Panther's Quest, which only aired on Disney XD, and nobody talked about. Everybody talked about Star Wars Rebels. Not as many people talked about Black Panther's Quest and seeing how many fans are out there of Black Panther and the Avengers. Why weren't more people watching this show? And yeah, we're still waiting to find out if more will be coming. New TV shows, Watchmen, obviously. I'm not going to say too much about that because there are so many people saying so much more about this show than I have time to get into. So maybe I'll link to a couple of those in-depth analyses and then you guys go check it out for yourselves. Yes, it's on HBO, but the HBO add-on for Hulu is a wondrous thing. So maybe think about that. I think they have a 30-day free trial or whatever. And before I forget, Swamp Thing on DC's paid streaming service. I believe that's where Teen Titans and Doom Patrol are also. I have seen the first episodes of all of those. Swamp Thing will be hitting video on demand Blu-ray in March, I believe. And I have already put my request in for a copy of that because I want to see the entire series. That, unfortunately, I think Swamp Thing suffered from what happened to Constantine on NBC, 7 years ago now? 6 years ago? Oh my goodness. It is dark and delicious and The executive producers include James Wan, who's responsible for Aquaman and the Conjuring films, and Mark Verheiden, who has a track record of awesome stories, including Heroes, and I think the first couple of seasons of Falling Skies, and oh yeah, Constantine. I swear, if that show had gone longer, I would have finally gotten to talk to Mark, but such is life. They had a beautiful, dark project with Swamp Thing, and they canceled it before the second episode even aired. That's just wrong. But Swamp Thing is currently available on digital through other retailers outside of the DC Universe, and it will be available on Blu-ray in February. I just looked it up. February 11th, it'll be available on Blu-ray. They're calling it the complete series. It looks like 10 episodes, no bonus features. So I guess something's better than nothing, maybe? Anyway, what else do we have? Evil. Yes, Mike Coulter, Michael Emerson. It's on CBS. This show took a little bit to sort of catch on with me, but no spoilers. The cliffhanger and the continuation, yes, this show is intriguing. There's a mystery going on here. I haven't quite figured it out yet, but I will continue to do so. That's all I have for television so far. The only other thing of note that I recall surprising the hell out of me during 2019, Warner Archive released a remastered Blu-ray edition of the original V, the miniseries. And apparently it's glorious. And I'm annoyed because I didn't get a copy. They didn't send one to me. And in looking up what details were on that set, I discovered that in 2017, Warner Archive released a Blu-ray remastered edition of The Hidden. Who knew? I didn't know. And if you know and didn't tell me, you know, you get to gloat, because that's on me for not knowing that they did that. Yeah, that's it. That's all I have for television. Coming up in a minute, we will have movies, both theatrical, VOD, streaming, home video. And we'll run that list down for you right after this.
Escape Pod is your destination for the best in modern short science fiction. Our intrepid crew of editors and hosts will bring you fun, thought-provoking, in-flight entertainment every week as the pod careens around the multiverse. In the mood for a classic? We've got Anson Mount, also known as Captain Christopher Pike, reading Theodore Sturgeon. Want something a little more up-to-date? Jennifer R. Donahue's Surveillance Fatigue has you covered. In every sense. From classic space opera to intimate character drama, from heroic alien pets waiting for their families, to herds of literal Einsteins and the benevolent conspiracy they're hatching, Escape Pod has it all at escapepod.org. So buckle up, because it's story time.
Movie time. A lot of movies came out in the independent realm this year that I was happy with, impressed with, that I enjoyed. From the bigger theatrical releases, my favorites for 2019 were Captain Marvel, happy death day to you. I didn't see Ready or Not, but that looked like a lot of fun. Crawl was definitely a lot of, shall we say, an unexpected campy horror treat. What was another one? I wasn't over the top thrilled by Terminator Dark Fate, but I really enjoyed what they did, especially retconning everything after Judgment Day into non-existence. Which, gee, you have a franchise that is playing merry havoc with timelines, alternate timelines, parallel timelines. So yeah, it's not that hard to just say, okay, these stories didn't happen. So I applaud that effort. I applaud cleaning up the Terminator universe and getting back to, I guess, basics. And I think the other major studio release that made an impact on people was Shazam, because it deviated from the dark and gritty and morose tone that the DC Universe films have been specializing in lately, and actually made a fun romp out of a fun superhero. So, who knows? Maybe there's a balance there to be struck. Maybe more DC films will turn out like Shazam and be just lighthearted comic book fun like they should be. Time will tell. Movies that people may not have seen and really, really should have. Top of that list for me is Fast Color. You should be able to see this movie on iTunes. I don't know if it's on Amazon Prime, but I heard about this movie back when, I think when they started production, when they started making it, and then I didn't hear anything more about it until in the early spring, I believe it was March, when the writer-director started tweeting about it, and I couldn't wait to find it. And lo and behold, it wasn't playing anywhere. It just happened to be playing at 25 theaters around the country, and five of those theaters happened to be in the D.C., Maryland, and Virginia area, so I got to see the movie. I actually went to see it twice. Fast Color is a wonderful, beautiful movie, and I share the director's rage when she says that studio executives told her they didn't know how to market this film, so they weren't even going to try. It's a story about three generations of black women, a grandmother, a mother, and a child, a daughter, who have superpowers and are being chased by the government. Excuse me, isn't that X-Men all over again? If you can market X-Men, you can market Fast Color. Morons. Anyway, as soon as Fast Color, like I said, I saw it twice in the theaters. As soon as Fast Color came out on Blu-ray, I purchased it to support that filmmaker and her efforts to get cool movies like this made. In fact, I saw Captain Marvel and Fast Color on the same day. I did a twofer. First time I've done that in a while. But go see Fast Color. Another one that got a lot of mention was Volition. That is a really, really intense, smart film. Go see that if you can. It should be on streaming soonish. I want it to appear on Netflix because I want to dive into it again. What else do we have? We have See You Yesterday, which is also on Netflix. We have Hoax, which is another one of those campy horror movies. It's a lot of fun. The end of it is really intense and totally different in tone from the rest of the film, so it might not be to everyone's taste, but the rest of the movie is so goofy. It's delightful. A couple other indie horror films that make my list are The Shed and Daniel Isn't Real, which is a really, really, for me, unexpected film. What else do we have? We have, I guess my honorable mentions would be Along Came the Devil 2 and Trick for indie horror. Another one, it's actually more than that. It's better than an honorable mention. It should be on the official list, called Headcount. It actually manages to make a decent horror story out of these new creepypasta social media memes. And I think with a little bit more tweaking, that could have been a magnificent film. It was this close. We switch over from theatrical or feature films over into documentaries. 2019 was a cornucopia of awesome documentaries that fit the genre mold. 2019 opened up with horror noir, which, if you have not seen it, go watch it. It is available on Shudder. I am also waiting for it to appear on Blu-ray, because that Blu-ray release is going to hopefully contain all of the extras. And I know that they filmed so much more than appeared in that documentary, and I want to see it. And I want to see it now. Other documentaries are Eye of the Beholder, The Art of D&D, The Crystal Calls, which is about the Dark Crystal. That is available on Netflix, along with Dark Crystal, Age of Resistance. I think Eye of the Beholder is still on Netflix. The Power of Grayskull, which is about He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, the history of that, the cartoon, the toys. That is on Netflix. Go check that out. Worlds of Ursula K. Le Guin. I don't believe that is on Netflix. That might be on Amazon Prime. I should have checked before sitting down to record this. But The Worlds of Ursula K. Le Guin is a fascinating look at the Grand Master fantasy science fiction storyteller's life and stories. And, the most recent one that came out, Never Surrender, a 20th anniversary look at Galaxy Quest, which we just saw came out recently. Also not sure if that is on Netflix or will be soon coming to Netflix, but if you can find Never Surrender, definitely check that one out. I think I'm going to try to get Never Surrender on Blu-ray when it comes out, because I love that movie. Who doesn't love that movie? If you don't love that movie, we need to talk, seriously. I think that covers it for most of the movies and TV shows for 2019 that I enjoyed and will recommend to others. My list of graphic novels and comics to recommend is short because I didn't get to read as many as I wanted to. The preview copies are plentiful, but there's not enough time in the day to get to all of them, unfortunately. I need to fix that. Anyway, the ones that I have read that I will recommend, check out V.E. Schwab's The Steel Prince. Steel Prince, actually it's Shades of Magic. Volume 1 is called The Steel Prince. Volume 2 is called Knight of Knives. Go check those out. You will not be disappointed. A new one came out from Vault Comics, which I reviewed, actually, issue number 1 of, called The Mall. All I can say is, imagine a post-apocalyptic world where everybody lives in the mall. There is no wilderness, you're in the mall. You have different tribes living in different sections of the mall, but you're in a mall. And it's delightful. Last week's interview was with Zach Kaplan. He finished up Eclipse, so that final concluding graphic novel for that series came out in 2019. We got volumes, if I remember correctly, volume 3 and volume 4 of Port of Earth, which is also well worth checking out. Jeffrey Thorne's Battle Books projects. I don't believe I promoted that as much as I should have earlier in the year, earlier in 2019. The Battle Books winner was Red Jack. I would have loved to have seen Cadre One. That was my favorite out of the three, but Red Jack will be the one going forward, so we should look forward to seeing that. But he also had a project. Pendant Audio is doing a dramatic adaptation of his Dreamnasium short story anthology, so check that out. We have something from Boom Studios called Something is Killing the Children. Spooky. Go check that out. Another one we have from Vault Comics is Sarah and the Royal Stars. I'm not going to say a word because I will start spoiling this and that would be bad. But those are the ones that I have read and can recommend. There are a lot of others out there that are recommendation worthy. I have not read them, but if you're curious, I can make a list. I can do a quick rundown of books, novels, and short stories anthologies that I can recommend. I'm also going to recommend these over on Writers After Dark, but a quick rundown is Rage of Dragons by Evan Winter, How Rory Thorne Destroyed the Multiverse by Kay Eason, Good Luck Girls by Charlotte Nicole Davis. We have Storm of Locusts by Rebecca Roanhorse, which is a sequel to Trail of Lightning. Dead Girls Club by Damian Angelica Walters. And The Deep by Rivers Solomon. Hex Life, which is a anthology of witch and witchcraft short stories put together by Christopher Golden and Rachel Autumn Deering. There's New Suns, which was edited by Nisi Shawl, and Mythic Dreams, which was edited by Nava Wolf. I think that's mostly it for my short list. Two Girls Down by Luisa Luna. A Dangerous Man by Robert Crace. And, The Unicorn Anthology. How could I forget that one? And links to those will probably be over on Writers After Dark once I collate them all. And I think that covers everything for this 2019 genre retrospective of A Slice of Sci-Fi Flavor. I reserve the right to add more stuff to this list as I catch up on reading and viewing that I am way behind on. But if you have any questions or comments, especially if you've seen something that you truly loved and enjoyed but wasn't on this list, feel free to call. The number is 602-635-6976 or send me an email, summer@sliceofscifi.com. You can listen to Slice of Sci-Fi on iTunes, on Google Play, on Stitcher, on TuneIn, on iHeartRadio, and Player FM. Still looking for ways to get things on Pandora and Spotify. Keep an eye out on that. You can leave us a review right now on Apple Podcasts, or on Stitcher. And you can listen to Slice of Sci-Fi. And you can follow Slice of Sci-Fi on Twitter. We're at Slice of Sci-Fi. Or check us out on YouTube and Facebook. We're Slice of Sci-Fi there. And of course, there is the website, sliceofscifi.com. I'd like to thank everyone who is currently helping support our efforts here. Your pledges through Patreon are greatly appreciated. They do keep the lights on here in more ways than one. If you'd like to add your pledge, the place to go is patreon.com/sliceofscifi. Or if you just want to do a individual donation now and then, the link to use is paypal.me/scifisummer. But that'll do it for this episode. I'd like to thank everyone for tuning in. And yes, we will be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week, diving into the new content for 2020. See you then. Take care.